That's some good preaching right there. It almost wants to make me just leave it there. Truly it does tug at the heart and causes the emotion to rise with hands lifted to the glory of God. Welcome back to the God School. This is part two of the amazing, astonishing doctrine of the gospel. The root in the Hebrew for the word doctrine is something heard, but not just heard, but something that causes awe and astonishment. And last week, we went through more than a dozen scriptures declaring from the Word of God, the gospel, the good news. Why would we do this? Well, number one, we're commissioned to do it. But its purpose is to arm the children of God with a weapon the way Paul puts it in Ephesians is the sword of the word or the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God, and we're preaching the gospel. Going back to the genesis of this message, Paul says to the Galatians, first verse, or first chapter, verse 3, grace, unmerited favor, and peace that is cessation of againstness from God. God gives you something you don't deserve. He gives me something I don't deserve. And he says he's not against us. How is that? From God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was with God from the beginning, who kinned himself with us and took upon himself flesh and blood for this reason, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever. Paul goes on to say, I marvel, I'm astonished, he has delivered to these churches of Galatia the gospel, he says, I'm astonished that you are so soon removed from him that is Christ, that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The word being translated trouble in this seventh verse, the Greek word is torasso. It means to agitate, to stir up, to disturb, to trouble. Properly, the word means put in motion. That is, to agitate back and forth, to shake to and fro. Figuratively, to set in motion what needs to remain still, at ease. To trouble, to agitate, causing inner perplexity, emotional agitation. Getting too stirred up inside. Now, where does this trouble come from? First and foremost, it comes from our adversary, the devil, and his minions. It also comes from this present evil world, what Paul is talking about here is, in the context of this letter to the Galatians, it also comes from so-called representatives in the church. Lastly, it comes from our own flesh. The source of all this trouble was the law. And there be many in the church which say, yay, 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 the gospel. And then, yay, 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 now that you've heard the gospel, the law. I want to go back to this little excerpt from Fox's Book of Martyrs on the life and writings of a man by the name of Patrick Hamilton. I put this together years ago with the help of a good friend, called A Light in the Darkness. And it is this young man 500 years ago who put together what one might call a argument for the gospel, but in it comparing it to the law. Now, if you've been following, and I'm not going to go and repeat all that we said last week, you know, you heard through God's word, the gospel, Patrick goes on, and now he talks about the nature of the office of the law and of the gospel. And he says, I'm trying to figure out whether I want to give you all the scriptures or not. Yet, the scriptures, the word, the written word, of God, which he has preserved through much trial, much tribulation, much agitation, much corruption, but nevertheless, that which God has preserved, that we have today, that through his word we might come to know him, his son, and his gospel, that we might have faith and hope and confidence in that good news from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:20, Patrick concludes, the law shows us our sin. John 1:17 says, the gospel shows us the remedy for it. Romans 7:14, Patrick says, the law shows us our condemnation. Colossians 1:14, the gospel shows us our redemption. Romans 4:15, the law is the word of ire. Acts 20:24 says, the gospel is the word of grace. Deuteronomy 27, 13 to 26, the law is the word of despair. Luke 2:11, the gospel is the word of comfort. Romans 7:8, the law is the word of unrest. Ephesians 6:23 says, the gospel is the word of peace. Now, if I'm going too fast for you, well, you have the opportunity to replay it. If you are listening and would like a copy of this little booklet we put together, all you have to do when the message is finished is hit the little comment section underneath the soundbar or above the soundbar. I can't remember where it is. And that's an email device. It comes directly and only to me. Send me your address. I would be pleased to get this little booklet in your hands free. People like free. People should like the gospel because it's free. While I'm talking about the comment section, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to interrupt the message just for a moment. As it says on the homepage, this pastor likes to hear your comments. I can track the number of people who are accessing thegodschool.com. But I cannot track your response. And the comment section not only facilitates the ability to communicate with me vis-a-vis asking for a book like this, but it's a source of encouragement to me. I know there are people listening. What I don't know is if those who are listening have ears to hear the message and the opportunity to let me know you have ears to hear, let me know that I'm not just talking in the wind, is to send me a little note through this comment section. Now, back to this message, of another gospel. It's not of the same nature. Paul says, which is not another. It's not of the same nature. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul's later on in this letter, he's going to talk about the gospel and the law. And the essence of what Paul says is the gospel was preached first. The law was a late comer. He's also going to say, it's, that is, the law is an early goer. Patrick makes this observation, and he says the contrary operation of the law and the gospel. He says, the law says, pay your debt. The gospel says, Christ has paid it. The law says, you're a sinner, despair, and you shall be damned. The gospel says, your sins are forgiven you. Be of good courage, for you shall be saved. The law says, make amends for your sins. The gospel says, Christ has made it for us. The law says, the Father of heaven is angry with you. The gospel says, Christ has pacified him with his blood. I need to stop there. I need to stop there. And go not just to man's argument, but to God's. In the third chapter of Romans, and as we go through it, I will make my best attempt to transliterate, that is, give its fullest meaning, or give the fullest meaning of what's being said. In the 20th verse, it says, no, let's go to the 19th verse. It says, now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. That's what the law does for you. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be righteousified in his sight, that is God's, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now we get the gospel. A righteousness of God without the law is manifest. Hey, the law was an expression of God's righteousness. And the only time it was ever expressed in human flesh was in the body of Jesus Christ. Let's go on. But now, a righteousness of God, that's another righteousness other than the law. It says, but now a righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even a righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all the ones faithing. If this is the first time you're here, and you have your Bibles open and you're reading along with me, it doesn't say that. It says to them that believe. No, the word being translated is a derivative. Pistuantos is the Greek word, and the better translation is faithing. Its root is faith. It's a verb. It's an ABC, an action based on belief, sustained by confidence. That word that in the fullness of time, when God sent his son, the Greek language dominated the world, and Christ reached into that language and pulled that word pisteos out and made it his. And it's a verb. We've made it a noun. No, it's a verb. There is a noun form, true enough. But this is a verb, and it is an action based upon belief. That is what the mind ascends to. Sustained by confidence. That is that which the heart and the mind agree, but it's an act, it's a hanging of the body. And as Christ brings it more into focus, it's a grabbing hold of a promise of God. That's what Christ meant in his use of this word, pisteos, unfortunately, most often translated believe. It's more than belief. Let's go back. Even a righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, it's that which God makes available to us, not that which we do for him. By the faith of Christ unto all and upon all the ones faithing, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being freely righteousified, or being righteousified freely by his grace through the redemption, that is, the price paid, that is in Jesus Christ, whom God, here's a better translation than that of the King James, whom God has set before his place, his face forever to be mercy seated unto us, that is the place where God would meet us through faith in his blood. Christ has pacified God with his blood. The law says, back to Patrick Hamilton, the law says, where is your righteousness, goodness, and satisfaction? The gospel says, Christ is our righteousness, our goodness. And rather than use the word satisfaction, let me read it again. The law says, where is your righteousness, your goodness, and sanctification? The gospel says, Christ is our righteousness, our goodness, our sanctification. The law says, you are bound and obliged to me, to the devil, and to hell. The law was the power to condemn us. The law, listen, 1 Corinthians 15:56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin was the law. The gospel says, Christ has delivered us from them all. I'm trying to communicate the gospel, the amazing, astounding doctrine of the gospel, because there be some that trouble us. There be some that attempt to set in motion what needs to remain still, at ease. Christ has done all this for us, and what remains is somewhat analogous to in my room. I have a light stand, and that light stand is there. It's real. It's substantial. I can flip the switch on the light all I want. But unless the light is plugged into the source, which gives the energy to cause the bulb to be illuminated, it won't be of any use. And faith is the plugging in to that source, which illuminates. And all human analogy comes short, but faith is the plugging in to that life which God has promised, that eternal life which God has promised in the gospel. In his little writings, Patrick says, faith is a gift of God. He says, every good thing is the gift of God. Faith is good. Ergo, faith is the gift of God. He says, faith is not in our power. The gift of God is not in our power. Faith is the gift of God, ergo, faith is not in our power. He goes on now. I'll just read. He adds another argument. He that lacks faith cannot please God. Without faith it is impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6. All that comes not of faith is sin. That's Romans 14:23. For without faith, no man can please God. He uses several arguments and comes to this conclusion. He says, we suppose therefore that a man is, he uses the word justified, but properly translated, the word is righteousified. Righteous, like God is righteous, that a man is righteousified by faith without the deeds of the law. That was a conclusion in the 28th verse of the 3rd chapter of Romans. And he gives several scriptures supporting his comparison between the gospel and the law, and between faith and non-faith, which is, I want to try to give you a little explanation that Patrick doesn't necessarily put forward. In the Greek language, you have faith, to use a comparison. When faith is in operation, you're moving up a hill, you're pedaling up a hill on a bicycle. In the Greek, there is a word, apistis, and it doesn't mean no faith. It means non-faith. You can either be going in one direction or the other. There's no middle ground. Patrick says, and I'm going to change his words to keep this message coherent. He that faiths not, apistis, the gospel, faiths not God. He that faiths not God's word, faiths not apistis, God himself. The gospel is God's word. Therefore, he that apistis, non-faith, the gospel, apistis is not God himself. And consequently, he that faiths not those things above written and any other, faiths not God. We're going to conclude this morning by bringing you conclusions that this fellow traveler on this journey of faith that we are making to heaven, to eternity in Christ Jesus, to be with God our Father forever. Patrick makes these conclusions. He says, faith is the road of all good. I'm going to stay with his words now, just for ease. He says, incredulity is the root of all evil. And when I because of the older English, when this booklet was being put together, I had to do some modernizing of some of the English. And I didn't have immediate understanding of the word incredulity, so I had to look it up. And I put a little note in this book. It says, incredulity, it's the state of being incredulous. Incredulous is the state of not believing. Skeptical. Showing, I wrote in the book, showing disbelief to keep the message congruent, showing a pistis. Having given you that explanation, let me read the rest. Let me start over. Faith is the road of all good. Incredulity is the root of all evil. Faith makes God and man good friends. Incredulity makes them foes. Faith brings God and man together. Incredulity separates them. All that faith does pleases God. All that incredulity does displeases God. Faith only makes a man good and righteous. Incredulity only makes him unjust and evil. Faith makes a man a member of Christ, of his body. Incredulity makes him a member of the devil. Faith makes him inheritor of heaven. Incredulity makes a man the inheritor of hell. Faith makes a man a servant of God. Incredulity makes him a servant of the devil. Faith shows us God to be a sweet father. Incredulity shows him to be a terrible judge. Faith holds firm by the word of God. Incredulity wavers here and there. Faith counts and holds God to be true. Incredulity holds him false and a liar. Faith knows God. Incredulity knows him not. Staying with the theme of this letter to the Galatians, which I dare any of you to show me in the modern church where this epistle, which was the first one ever written in the New Testament, I believe before the Gospels, is ever preached on in the church today. But Paul concludes, we read in that 7th verse, but there be some that trouble you. Out of Patrick's words, faith makes a man the servant of God. Paul concludes in the 17th verse of the 6th chapter of this Galatian letter, he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, that is, any keeping of the law. It's a circumcision was a type of keeping the law, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature I would add for understanding in Christ Jesus. And he says, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel. Of God. I'll explain that some other time. Here's where I'm going. As many as walk according to this rule, Paul says in the 17th verse, from henceforth, from now on, let no man trouble me. Patrick says, faith makes a man a servant of God. Paul says, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. For I bear in my body the stigmata. It's the mark of a bond slave or servant. Faith makes a man a servant of God. Therefore, let no man, let no one trouble you. Having heard and been armed with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and employing that gift of God called faith, we shall, by the promise of God, one day see God face to face and see the manifestation of the power of the gospel wherein, like David in the 17th Psalm says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." That is going to be my condition in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. When I awake with thy likeness, I shall be satisfied when I awake and look like Jesus. That's the way God sees us who by faith are acting on His word. That's the way God sees us today. There's a day coming when, through the operation and grace of God, we shall see it in ourselves. It's amazing. It's astonishing. To hear with ears the doctrine of the good news of Jesus Christ. And I hope you agree. And that's the God School for today.